Okay, so today we're talking about busyness and his presence, and the foundation of this is that I would imagine all of us in this room believe three things. One is that we want to have an impact in our situations, in our workplace, in our homes, and anyway, we want to have an impact for God in these places. Secondly, that we believe that spending time in his presence is a way to transform us, to make us an effective witness in this place. And the third thing is, sadly, that busyness often chokes that second desire, and we don't spend as much time in his presence that we would like to. So that's the sort of foundation. If you're not in that place, you're actually already spending full amount of time in his presence and feel this doesn't apply to you, then just pray for the rest of us, because quite a lot of us do feel that, okay? Okay, so I want to just start by reading this. I'm sorry about the font there. I'll read it if it's a bit small. From Daniel chapter 1. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. Okay, so this is what we're going to try and do. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at why we're so busy, or what we can do about that side of the equation. You know, why we get so busy, or what's about that. But really spend most of the time looking about how we try and optimize time in his presence, or allow his presence to influence our lives. Okay, and I'll be challenged about that. And then finally, how we know when we've got the balance right. Okay. There's a great quote from Abraham Lincoln, who was a busy man, a very busy man. Just a quick quiz. Abraham Lincoln, Democrat or Republican? Who thinks Democrat? Very good. He was Republican. Very good. So he said, "I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go. My own conviction and that of those around me seemed insufficient for the day." I think that just captures the essence of what we're thinking about this morning, that my best intentions and the people that surround me are insufficient for the day, insufficient to have that sort of room in the day, yeah? That's what we want. We want to live lives where our impact is real on those around us, and our best efforts are insufficient. So I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes on this. This is if you read through some of the literature on busyness from the psychologist's point of view, it's quite interesting. I mean, I'll just run through this very quickly, but just to set the scene really. It's interesting, we're wired as humans to prefer to be busy than bored. If you give humans the opportunity, they'd rather actually be doing something than not doing anything at all. And so in a sense, we're wired to be active and to be doing things. However, when you look at why people get very busy, or people who are very busy, sometimes you find that they've taken on things to distract them from not addressing problems in other areas of their lives, okay? And so by being busy, in a sense, numbs us from having to address these things. For some people, busy can be a badge of honor or importance. It's interesting, when you look at the solution to busy that the psychologists come up with, which is really a very interesting. I say this isn't a Christian psychologist. This is just a psychologist sort of looking at this. And their answer was care and feeding of your spirit. He said, my choices to take on this activity comforting and nourishing my spirit, Or are they temporary reprieves from vulnerable and difficult emotions which ultimately diminish my spirit? Are these choices leading me to wholeheartedness, or do they leave me feeling empty and searching? And so I think the message out of that for me is that we do have choices. We have to make wise choices about what we do. You know, we are the steward of our own lives. And there's times where we do something, have to say, what I'm doing is making me too busy because it really is squeezing everything else out. And I think this is quite a nice thing. Is what I'm doing diminishing, or is it enriching my spirit? You know, does this sit well with my spirit? What am I doing? Or is it maybe done for a reason which ultimately a short-term gain or some financial reason, but really is diminishing me? But I'd like now to turn and look at presence and really ask the question: How do we spend more time in his presence? We've talked about busyness, but I think we do have to make some wise choices about that. But I just want to really sort of bathe in the next little while just in a lot of considerations of his presence. There's an organization called Renovare, which is a sort of parachurch organization which is interested in renewal in the church. And what they've done is they've just sort of mentioned six Christian traditions like this here, which I'm going to just very briefly run through. And what they encourage is to say that all these things, we kind of agree with all of these, but over the ages, sometimes the church has, if you like, emphasized one over others, or maybe neglected one at the expense of others. And I just thought I'd run through, because there's a lovely sort of description of each of these. And again, if we're asking ourselves about presence of God in our lives, it's very helpful. So, for example, this one here, the evangelical tradition. I'll let you read that. But the summary bit at the bottom: the faith stream addresses the crying need for people to see the good news lived in us and hear the good news proclaimed. And so for people to come into contact with the message, the good news, is to come into us living the good news. But perhaps this is the one which in our own day and age is perhaps a little bit more neglected, and again, is one that really sort of invites us as we think about spending time in his presence, the contemplative tradition. It stresses the value of silence, solitude, and prayer as ways to engage with God. And these are not just way out there on a day away, but these can be in the very substance of our lives, doing simple things like taking a walk while we're doing some simple tasks around the house or with our children. The virtuous life, or the holiness tradition, again, this has got a lovely definition here of the word virtue. It means to function well. Virtuous life is not about rules or judgment, perfectionism, or some kind of merit gained by good deeds. It's about us being attentive to the source of our actions, to the condition and motives of the heart, and taking on new patterns of life that flow naturally from within and cause a reformation of us. The incarnational tradition focuses on that relationship between the invisible spirit and physical reality, and helping us see God's divine presence in the material world in which we live. And again, one of the things we'll come on to is just, again, capturing that is trying to see his presence in absolutely everything. Any talk about experiencing God's presence would obviously recognize that, you know, that God has given us his spirit, his helper, to bring to memory all that he's teaching us and to equip us. And finally, the social justice tradition, again, that what God's doing in us is a way of us then passing it on to others around us, our neighbours. And just that little reminder, as Jesus said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So just a reminder that, you know, whatever we're trying to do has to be based in his presence and experiencing him. And, you know, we know that, and yet sometimes in our lives we just get busy doing other things and we stand back from that a bit. I want to just talk about two stories, actually, and then we'll come on to the third one in a second. The gospel writers were very keen for us to see that Jesus would take time out of his very busy schedule. You know, early in the day or in the middle of the night, he would go and spend some time alone praying and with his Father. And I've always, you know, the gospel writers were very obviously keen that we saw that. This wasn't a little sort of just a passing comment, but they were keen to stress that he would take time out. I mean, his life was so busy in his public ministry. You know, people were touching his clothes just to get some power out of him, and you know, always had him in sort of, you know, busy. So all that going on, yet he took some time out just to be refreshed. And I often wondered whether he kind of needed to have that time out, or whether he wanted it. And I think he did need it, but I think he it really was something he wanted. He'd spent an eternity with God the Father until he came to earth, and to spend these hours early in the day or late at night or out in the boat or whatever, just communing with his Father again, I think was something that he really delighted in. The Abraham Lincoln, again, following on from that quote earlier on, we're told that that he spent the first hour of the day in prayer. Someone was very keen to meet him or have a meeting with him, and he was given a time by his official and said, come at 5 in the morning and he'll see you then. So this chap thought it was extremely early, but he got there, and actually got there a bit early. And he could hear in the adjacent room a bit of noise going on, and you know, a little bit of talking or whatever. And he asked the secretary, is he next door? And he said, yeah. He spends from 4 to 5 in prayer, and then he starts his day every day. And we'll come on to the last one. So again, just a reminder of people finding time for his presence. Okay, so I want to just really sort of look at lots of different ways for us to find time in his presence. I'm sorry this doesn't project quite so. This is an old book, one of the most reproduced books in the last very many hundred years. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Has anyone read it? Has most people read it? Yeah? Good, okay. So this is a humble monk, and his the basic thrust of the book was he encouraged people to try and think about God in all day. Because if you think about him, then you're aware of him, and then that would lead to you spending more time in his presence. So, you know, he basically everything he did. So rather than some a sort of monastic life saying, you know, you do your job and then you make time for God outside of that, he was encouraging people to actually think of God no matter what they were doing. Okay? And that's really the two choices we've got when we think about trying to spend time in his presence. One is we try and make time for him when we're not doing other things, okay? And that's a discipline. You know, how many of us, if we start off a week or a day or a month and say, I'll just see how it goes, end up having time where we really have time thing? Now, the other way of doing that is saying, here's my timetable. Let's put in something in my timetable which is almost completely movable. And then everything else gets put around that. Now, that's just simple discipline and planning, you know, and if we do that, then we say, okay, next week and month, there'll be times where I would have a little bit of time, and that's just going to be dedicated to an hour or two I can take to be with God. So it's about regular slots in the day, ideally. It's about timetabling slots. And one other thing which I found enormously helpful, and if anybody wants the details afterwards, I've been on a couple of these walking retreats with a chap called Brian Draper. Has anybody else been on any of these? He's an author, and he does BBC4's Thought for the Day every so often. He's quite well known. Very nice chap. Anyway, he does these lovely walking retreats in one of a National Trust property down in about an hour from here. He takes like about 10 or 12 people with him. And, you know, you come to, you know, he's got the whole day, and he'll take you to something like a natural Yeah, water comes up from the ground. Spring, that's right. And so in this beautiful grounds, there's a spring, which you can see, and it's been there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And it's just, you know, going round all the other plants and trees round about it, supplying them. And, you know, he'll just talk a little bit about that and then let you have, you know, 20 minutes just to meditate on that. And, you know, these things are, it's beautiful. So I'd recommend it. In fact, one of the ones I was on, one of the ladies on that had been given the day by her husband as a birthday present. So to go on it, and he would look after the kids and she would have it, and it's a lovely present. So just if you think about that. So there's making room from kind of as a dedicated time, there's that. But for many of us, that is difficult. You know, people with young kids and stuff say, oh, that's all right, mate. You're past the, you know, three babies under four stage. It's easy for you to say, make this time. And I recognize that. And again, I don't think we can do it just that way, but I think we have to do it when we are doing other things as well. And, you know, what it's about is about recognizing that there's certain things that we do in our lives. It might be something as straightforward as how we get to and from work or how we get to and from the places we're going to. It takes some time. You know, you could be walking with a buggy and you've got 10 minutes to go and 10 minutes come back. That's 20 minutes where, you know, you're doing something with pretty low sort of intellectual activity that you could say, this is a time for me experiencing his presence, for prayer, for thinking things through. And actually, again, just overlaying some things with that thing and inviting God to be in that time. You know, I think when we do other things, things like acts of generosity and kindness, again, are time for his experience, his presence in a slightly different way of just knowing that we're doing something which is a good thing to do. And again, I think we can experience it there. I always think as Christians, if we use a sporting analogy, we have the home advantage. You know, when you walk out of here or you don't even need to walk out here, but you look there and you see the sky and the heavens declare the glories of God. The skies display his splendor. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display his praise. It's there. You know, it's already there. You don't even need to search that one out. It's just there. Look up and already the heavens are there. So we have home advantage. God has created everything that's around about us. So already it points at him. So it doesn't take that much of a step to then say, I'm going to use this time, what I'm doing, as a chance to focus on him. And how we use time, if we just focus maybe on dedicated time, so time when we actually set aside for God. Now, obviously, the first things which we all do and we would do is pray and read scripture, and that's absolutely the cornerstone of how we hear from God, how we let him speak to us. There's other options, and I like this thing of where you, in a prayerful way, take, say, a verse and meditate on it. So by reading it maybe a few different translations a few times and really just letting God speak to you and your situation. Just as an example, here's a great verse. Acts 15, verse 19. This is where the church decides to admit people, Gentiles, who and don't need to be circumcised before they be admitted. And this verse, listen to this. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. You just imagine taking a verse like that and just saying that over and over again and inviting God to speak to you about people you know, not to make it difficult that they would turn to God. And just asking him to speak to you. In a similar way, I've found it really helpful if on a time when I'm alone, I take a situation that has really troubled me or has provoked me and use that actually as a starting point for prayer and for asking for God's presence. Because I found that, you know, when you start praying through something and you say, you know, this situation at work or this situation, you know, that I've come across really troubles me, it's really got me going. And, you know, if you start off normally by saying, you know, oh Lord, get me out of this situation, oh Lord, you know, and you know, deal with this other person as they deserve. But actually, as you go on and pray, you realize actually often they're working from a position of brokenness as well. And then your prayer then start going much wider. You start inviting God or seeing God in lots of different ways in that situation that you didn't really see before. And my yes, please. And then, so let's just listen to just the verse, and we'll get to the chorus, John, then we'll stop this. That's fine. And just anyone without a theological degree or theology degree know which psalm that is? Anyone know what psalm that is? 73. Nope. You've got a theology degree. So that's a minus mark. What's that?
He's got one of the two.
Yeah. No, A13. But anyway, that's fine. That was just for a bonus point. But the psalmist takes his honest feelings about a situation and says, "Lord, you know this is not good, and why are you doing this to me?" And da 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 da. And then he sees the salvation of God in the midst of it. And I would encourage you then, particularly if you take a situation to God and you're praying about it and you really invite his presence in it, is to write your own psalm about that situation. You know, this is a situation you're going to go back into, if it's a work situation or a home situation or a neighborhood situation. And if God is in that time is speaking to you and saying, you know, understand what's going on here. Understand this is a real person who's broken and needs so much to hear grace and to hear, you know, and to experience love or interest or whatever. You know, and you write that down, that sense of what God's saying, and you keep it. I write it on my notes on my phone in that little bit. And then if I'm going back into that situation, if it's a work situation, I get out my little psalm that I've written about that just to remind me. And to say, can I, you know, again, catch a glimpse of what God was saying to me when I really gave an hour over to that particular situation? Okay. What we looked at is that sense that we do, each one of us does want to cause a boom in our lives and in the situations that we're in. We want to be people who have an impact for God. And we know that happens because he shapes us, he reforms us into something new and beautiful by spending time in his presence. We know there's pressures which choke that, and I think what we're saying is we've got to be disciplined and make time for him, but we've also got to be disciplined about other things that we do when it's not dedicated, but actually use other things that we're doing to say, this is an invitation for God to be present. And finally, to finish with this here. This Daniel story to me is a fantastic story. Because do you see how he invites the guard to be the judge, to evaluate them? You know, he didn't take the food for 10 days and then say to the guard, you know what, I know we look kind of thin and unhealthy, but actually inside we feel pretty good, so the result is it was a good thing. He says to the guard, you judge, you evaluate how we look after 10 days. And the guard looks at him and says, you look healthier and stronger than those guys who had the king's food. So it's all good. And what I'm saying is this: what would the equivalent be for us if we said to our workmates or our family, we said to them, "Look, you know, I'm doing something new. You don't need to make it all spiritual and stuff, but say, I'm just doing something new, and I really appreciate your feedback. You know, since the clocks went back, I've just started doing something different, and I really appreciate your feedback. So if it's a workplace, you could say to me, I'd like feedback on how engaged I am at work, what I'm like as a leader or as a team support, how much I've been something good for the team, how much I've been looking out for other people in the team, or how I've been acting with my work colleagues, and I would appreciate your evaluation. Or you could say to your family, you know, how engaged am I with the kids or with you, my wife or my whoever we live with? You know, I'm doing something new for a bit, and I just want to see if it's stronger and healthier when I do that. You know, we could all just sit here and say, and it's a bit scary, because we said that we'd have to follow up and we'd actually have to do it all, wouldn't we? So that would be really a bit scary and a bit committed. But that's what we're called to. If we want that, boom. There's no shortcut to spending time in his presence, being transformed from the inside. There isn't any other shortcut. You know, and so that would be my invitation and challenge to us all. You know, whichever situation you want to apply it to, or all your situations, you know, let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's not one person in this room that doesn't want to spend more time with you and to see your life in us as it brings salvation to people around us. As we see that great work of restoring all things to yourself be present in our lives and touching those that we touch in their different areas of our lives. And yet, Lord, we want to confess that we've been here before. You know, there are many times many of us have probably said to you, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna do a bit more, and it'll all be a bit better, hopefully." And Lord, that's just been, it's been at best aspirational, and it hasn't really changed or led to any change in our lives. Holy Spirit, you're the one who comes and brings to life and brings to fruition good things, and we really ask Holy Spirit to come today and to form in us, you know, that kind of commitment to say, I really want this to happen, and to walk with us to make that happen in our lives. And help us to be just disciplined to create that space, because if we create the space, we will see transformation in our lives and in those around us. So Heavenly Father, just speak to each one of us in the quietness and challenge us like the guard overseeing Daniel and his friends. Let them be the judge of whether we are being serious about our commitment to have more of you and your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.